Did y'all hear this holy hush just kind of settle over the congregation when I stood up? Well, I want to say this before we get going. Now, this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and there's some of y'all ain't appreciated me yet. Y'all ain't got long left. Let's all stand. We want to welcome everyone to Murrayville Baptist Church and those that are viewing us by broadcast. We appreciate you tuning in to our broadcast this morning and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. We want to open in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Samuel Wood to come open us.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be able to gather in the house of God. Thank you for the Sunday school hour that we've had. Pray that you just continue to bless the rest of the service and hide Brother Titus behind the cross. I pray that you just move in the service today, and that if anybody here be lost, that they get saved. Lord, I pray that you would just give us all a double portion today. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Remain standing, page 76.
Jesus told me one day, praise his holy name.
48. We haven't done that in a while.
Thank you.
If you have any tithes and offerings you want to bring, you bring them at this time.
They never were heard. changing, so we should change too. Trade our old-time religion for something new. Our faith is outdated. Why live in the past? I still love to hear.
I'm thinking of those young kids that are still in love with Jesus.
Amen.
I was thinking about a lot this past week. There's a lot of young people that like coming to church because they like other young people. But there's a few, very few, that still like coming to church because they love Jesus.
Amen.
And there's a big difference.
Yes, sir.
There's a big difference. You can tell it in their walk, their talk. You can tell it in their life. You can tell it in their singing. When they're in love with Jesus, oh, my word. I'm thankful and still know some young people that are in love with Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I'm glad to know some older people that still love Jesus Christ.
Sir.
Amen. Thank God for that. I love this. She's honoring the Lord this morning with her life, and I appreciate it so much.
Times are changing, so we should change too. Trade our old-time religion for something new. Our faith is outdated while living the past. The answer is simple, so if you ask, oh, I still love to hear how God's love paid the cost. Whose passion was fastened by nails to a cross. I still love the sound as the saints start to sing songs of the blood Jesus shed just for me. I still love an altar where broken ones pray and find what was found in no other way. It may be old-fashioned, but it's real.
Oh, yeah.
Still. So I'll stay on the old path that's brought us this far. We've saved countless millions and reached hardened hearts. And though times are changing and forever will, there'll still be one Savior, one Calvary's hill. Cause I still love to hear how God's love paid the cost.
Thank you.
fastened by nails to a cross. I still love the sound as the saints start to sing songs of the blood Jesus shed just for me. I still love an altar where broken ones pray and find what was found in no other way. It may be old-fashioned, but it's real. Still, they say times are changing, so we should change too. Trade our old-time religion for something new. Our faith is outdated. Why live in the past? The answer is simple. So if you ask, I still love to hear how God's love paid the cost, whose passion was fastened by nails to a cross. I still love the sound as the saints start to sing songs of the blood Jesus shed just for me. I still love an altar where broken ones pray and find what was found in no other way. It may be old-fashioned, but it's real. Still, so I'll stay on the old path that's brought us this far, that saved countless millions and reached hardened hearts. And though times are changing and forever will, there'll still be one Savior, one Calvary's hill. Is fastened by nails to a cross. I still love the sound as the saints start to sing songs of the blood Jesus shed just for me. I still love an altar where broken ones pray and find what was found in no other way. It may be old-fashioned, but it's real. Still,
I sure do appreciate this church. I appreciate the unity that God's given all of us together. And appreciate the young people, the older people. God's given us a great balance of people age-wise in this church. But the one thing that runs through every one of us is the Spirit of God that helps us to love one another. Amen. I want to read this to you before Brother Titus comes to preach. Had to call on Brother Titus late last night and wasn't doing too well last night, but called him and what my wife did, and he just said, "Yes, sir, I'll be there to preach." And I appreciate the preachers of this church, every one of you, and what y'all mean to my heart, my life. I pray for you often, and I appreciate God putting you here right where you're at. Appreciate every person of this church. Y'all mean so much to me. You're my family. We live up here. It's me and Deb and my mom. And that's as far as physical family, that's what we've got. But as far as God's family, we're rich. We're blessed and rich today. And last Sunday, y'all did a little something special for us for Pastor Appreciation. That meant so much to our hearts and all. And I think about each and every one of you and how special you are to our lives and what you mean to us. I'll give you a little example. we tried to build a relationship with most everybody, and some you can, some you can't, but we understand that too. And I'll give you an example of what happened this past week. Little Kennedy Wood wasn't feeling too good, had to go to the doctor and all. And Mackenzie and Debbie were texting back and too. And she was giving her updates, you know, keeping her updated on what was going on with Kennedy. Then Mackenzie wasn't feeling well. Couldn't get out and go tend to things or anything. So she texted, and Debbie told her, said, if you need anything, Mackenzie, you let me know. And so in a little bit, Mackenzie texted Debbie and said, could you go get me some this, this, and this? I think she wanted a 5-pound roast and things. No, I'm kidding. She just needed some things to tie them over to some liquids and things. And Debbie came to me and she said, Mackenzie just texted and needs me to go get this, this, and this. I said, Debbie, I do believe you've got you a daughter. And I appreciate the closeness of this church and what all of you mean to us. It's exceptional. And I wanted to read this. My wife wrote this last night. It said, to our church family, thank you so much for the love you show and all that you do for us. Thank you, church, for the sacrifice you made for Pastor Appreciation Day and also my birthday. You all have always been very generous to us, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate you. Thank you for your love and your prayers. We're truly blessed by you all. Our love, John and Deb. And we do appreciate it. From the first day we came up here, we've been depending on your prayers, and y'all have never failed us. Y'all have always prayed us through everything, and appreciate it from the depths of our heart. Brother Titus is going to be preaching for us this morning. You come on, Brother Titus.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I appreciate him most of all being here. I sure do appreciate him coming to where we're at. We mentioned a little bit in Sunday school this morning about Obed-Edom and what happened when the Lord came by his house, and it was so great and made such a difference in his life. When it come time for King David to come and take the ark away, he said, well, we got to go too. He said, I've experienced the goodness of God in my life and in my home. And he said, I can't go without it now. I just can't go without it now. Boy, that's the way I want my life to be. I want to be to where I just can't go without him. I'm afraid a lot of us has learned to live without him. But it made such a difference in Obed-Edom's life. He said, I don't want to go back to the way things used to be. I don't want to have the same kind of home life that I used to have. I don't want to have the same routines, the same. I don't ever want to go back to that place. I can't live without him. I got to go with him. If you got to take him, we're going too. And from then on, every time you see Obed-Edom, it's mentioned something to do with the ark. He never left it. Oh, God help us to never leave him. I'm thankful he allows us the privilege to serve him and to be in his presence. I thank him for coming by this way this morning and speaking our hearts. And I hope and pray that he'll continue to touch and help and help us, Lord, to share just a little thought, Lord, on our hearts this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in the book of Exodus, chapter number 34. Exodus, chapter number 34. I preached this about a month or so ago at another church, and it's still been on my heart, and God gave me liberty to share it once again this morning. You pray for us, Lord. Help us as we stand. Before we read in Exodus chapter number 34, I'm also going to read a couple of verses in Matthew chapter number 5. Very, very familiar scripture this morning. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then in Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 29, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that his skin, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you once again, God, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, once again to be in your house today. Thank you so much, Lord, as it's already been said this morning for our church and our church family. Lord, I love this people. I love our pastor, Lord, Brother John and Miss Debbie. And I thank you so much, Lord, for how they've helped us and been a great blessing in our lives. Lord, and I thank you so much for them. Thank you once again for each and everyone's here in our church family. Lord, I love this people. Lord, I'm glad to serve you with them. And I pray, God, you please, Lord, continue to touch and help and move in this service today. Well, we could already leave and say it's been good to be in the house of God. Lord, I thank you for coming by and speaking to my heart. And Lord, letting us feel your presence, Lord, in this place today. God, I pray that you'd please touch us and help us as we stand to preach, Lord, this morning. You know how helpless and how feeble and how unworthy we are today, Lord. Lord, if anything good is said or done, it'll have to be through and by you today and the work of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd hide us behind the cross. I pray that people wouldn't see me, but they'd see you high and lifted up and hear from heaven today that, God, you'd be the one to do the preaching. I'd just be the mouthpiece, and that you'd preach your word to our hearts today. And may God, the Holy Ghost, take it beyond our ears and plant it deep in our hearts, Lord, that take up root and grow in our lives and draw us closer to you and help us to be what you'd have us to be. Lord, it truly is a dark world in which we're living in. And Lord, if there's ever been a time that we need to let our light shine, Lord, surely it's today. And I pray, God, you please take your word and use it, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. Lead and guide and direct every word from my mouth. And Lord, once again, I'll just do a try our very best. Thank you and praise you for it. Lord, I pray especially if they've been here lost today. God, that don't know you in a free pardon of sin, never truly been saved by the grace of God, whether here or watching on the broadcast, I pray today would be the day that accept you as their Savior. Get saved by the grace of God, for it's everlasting too late. Lord, so they don't regret it for all eternity. Lord, I pray that you'd have your own way. Lord, once again, all it's said and done, we'll try our very best to thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we humbly pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. We know the pastor scripture there in Matthew chapter number 5. We've heard that pastor scripture from most of us have anyway from the time we were little children. How that we're to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. It reminds me of a song that we used to sing and we still do as a child growing up. I'm sure most of you remember this little light of mine. I love that little song. I remember that song all throughout my childhood. Can I just stop and say I'm thankful she was singing and talking about how people call it old-fashioned, outdated. Can I just say I'm glad this is all I've ever known. I'm glad being raised in the house of God under the preaching of the Word of God. Sunday school, Bible school, revival, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and anything and everything in between. I thank God this is all I've ever known. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. I thank God for where He's put me and how that He's blessed my life and the heritage that He's blessed me with. And I remember singing this song a lot growing up. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And the Lord began to speak to my heart. I was just thinking about that little song for a little while and thinking about a message I'd heard and a preacher that made a difference in my life. And God just put it all together and worked this message in my heart. And I began to think about that, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I thought about how you can take a light bulb. You can take a nice, pretty, shiny, brand new, clean glass light bulb and it ain't going to do anything. It's just a light bulb. Ain't nothing any different than any other light bulb. It's just a plain old light bulb in and of itself. But if you put it in a globe or a housing with a spring and a tube with some batteries and turn it, put it all together and flip a light on, all of a sudden that light bulb begins to shine and puts off light so that you can see in the dark. And I begin to think about what does it take in our lives to let our light shine? What needs to be done? What are those components? Just like a flashlight has to have batteries and a spring and a housing and a lens and a light bulb. What does it take in our spiritual walk, in our lives as Christians? What does it take to really let our light shine? I begin to remember this passage of scripture. Moses has been on the Mount Sinai talking with the Lord. God has given him the tables of testimony or the Ten Commandments the second time. And when he comes off that mountain, the Bible said he doesn't realize it, but he's shining. His literal physical face is literally shining for all to see. It was shining, the Bible said, in so much that the children of Israel were afraid to even get near him. They didn't know what had happened to Moses. All they know is he went up on the mountain looking normal, and all of a sudden he comes back down. He's shining. What has happened to this man? It scared them. It worried them. They didn't know what happened. He literally shined. Can I tell you this morning, you may not literally physically shine. Your body may not begin to glow. But can I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, your body and your life can spiritually shine in a dark world in which we're living in. I begin to back up a couple of chapters from where we read in Exodus chapter number 34. And back up chapter number 33, and I begin to look at some very key things, key components in Moses' life, I believe, that it took for Moses to be able to shine. And I say, first of all, it took a relationship with the Lord. You back up in chapter number 33, and the Bible says, and it came to pass, verse number 8, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now you're talking about the God of heaven, the one that holds the whole world in the palm of his hand. He's leading them by a cloud, in a cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. He's leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And that cloud begins to come down and stand there in that tabernacle door. And the Bible said that the Lord himself spoke to Moses face to face. That's a pretty big deal. The God of heaven comes and literally speaks to him face to face. Moses is a great man, but he's still just a man. He's not a supernatural being. He's not some angel or some superman. He's still an ordinary man, though a great man that he was. And God himself comes down and talks to him face to face. Now, that's a pretty big deal in and of itself. But I read on, and it catches my attention what else it said. It says, as a man would speak to his friend. Can I say there's a lot of people that I've met in my lifetime. There's a lot of people that I would consider acquaintances, people that I've met or I've heard about or read about, people I may have seen on TV, but that's all they are. They're just acquaintances. I don't really know them. I've never really spent any time with them. I don't have a relationship with them, if you will. They're just an acquaintance. But if somebody has spent enough time with me and I know enough about them, and I feel like I really know their character and who they are, and we begin to spend time together and enjoy each other's company, they become, Brother Terry, my friend. And we begin to build a relationship with one another. There's a big difference between an acquaintance and having a real friend. Now, I believe we'd all have to agree, if anybody was a friend of God, it'd have to be Moses. There's more times in my Bible that I find that God spoke to Moses than anybody else recorded in the Word of God. Everywhere you look in the Old Testament, especially in Exodus, but any other places as well, you'll find that the Word of the Lord came unto Moses. God spake unto Moses. God told Moses. I mean, just over and over and over and over. God always had something to say to Moses. They had a relationship. They had a closeness. They had a friendship. I believe Moses wasn't just serving him out of obligation, but I believe he loved God and he wanted to serve God and wanted to do what God wanted him to do because they had a closeness. They had a relationship with each other. I believe there's a lot of so-called Christians today and so-called church members today. They may have good intentions. They may want to live right. They may want to let their light shine, but there's something missing in their life. They cannot cut the... They can flip the switch all they want to. They can try to clean up and do right and do this and do that, but something's missing in their life. They flip the switch, but nothing happens. There's no light there. And I say, too, there's more than just knowing about the Lord. You've got to know Him personally. I'm reminded the Bible says even the devils and the demons of hell believe and tremble. It's more than just believing that He's real. It's more than just hearing about Him. It's more than just hearing a Sunday school lesson or a message preached. It's more than just being a church member. It's more than just having your name on a church roll. It's more than just knowing about Him. You can know every Bible story in the book. But till you've put your faith and trust in Him personally as your Savior and let Him be Lord of your life and have a relationship with Him, commune with Him, it's just an acquaintance. until he becomes your Savior and your Lord and your friend, he's just an acquaintance. There's no batteries in that flashlight. You can flip the switch all you want to, but there ain't no light coming on, Brother Tim. It's just an object sitting there. It can't produce light. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, it don't matter how hard you try to clean your life up and do this and do that and turn over new leaves and New Year's resolutions. I'm going to quit this and I'm going to quit that. You can do all that you want to, but you still ain't going to have what you need in your life until you truly meet him as your friend. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get saved by the grace of God. I've heard about him all my life. I just told you this is all I've ever known. I knew a lot about him. I knew a lot of Bible stories growing up. I could tell you about Jonah. I could tell you about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I could tell you about David and Goliath. I could tell you about Saul. I could tell you about Cain and Abel and Noah and Adam. And I could tell you about all of them. I'd heard about it all my life. Been raised in church all my life. I knew a lot about him. But I still didn't know him. Not until Monday night, or if I was a 13-year-old boy, I'm glad that night I didn't just know about him. But I'm glad I got to meet him personally and begin to form a relationship with him. And he became my Savior and my Lord. Yes, got saved by the grace of God. Some people can't live right and they can't do right. They can't let their light shine because they've never truly been saved by the grace of God. They know a lot about him, but they don't know him. There's a big difference. Notice his relationship as a man speaketh unto his friend. I want that kind of relationship. I want God to speak to me like a friend. I want to be the friend. I want to be a friend of God. His relationship with the Lord, then his reliance on the Lord. Continue reading on. The Bible said in verse number 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see that thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou also hast found grace in my sight. Verse number 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He said, well, it's a good thing you're going with us. He said, because if you ain't going, I'm not going either. If you're not going anywhere, I'm not going anywhere. If you're not going with us, I can't go anywhere. He realized real quick in his life, Brother Tim, Moses, even though he was a great man, he realized without the Lord, he could do nothing. He said, you've got to go with us. He said, you've told me that this is your will for my life. He said, but I realize that I can't do this without you and your help. Notice what he said. He said, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Listen to this. Is it not in that thou goest with us? He said, without you, we're just any ordinary people. Without you, we're just like everybody else. There's nothing special about us. There's nothing good about us. He said, that's what separates us and sets us apart from everybody is that you're with us. You're what makes the difference. Moses said, without you, we're just like everybody else. We can't go nowhere. We can't do nothing. We're nobodies without you. He said, that's how people can tell that we're your people is because you go with us. That's what sets us apart. I'm reminded in Philippians chapter number 5. Paul is writing here to the church at Philippi, and he says in verse number 5, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in earth and things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen to what he's saying. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He said, for it's God that does the work. Paul's trying to tell them at the church of Philippi, he said, you're the vessels. God does the pouring and the filling. All we are this morning is vessels of clay. That's what we are. There's nothing special that makes us any better than anybody else outside the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and in our lives. He said, we got to have you if we're going to do anything. He said, I'd just soon not go anywhere without you. Like I said before, Obed-Edom said, I can't go. I can't live without him. If you're taking him, you're going to have to take me with you because I cannot go without him. Oh, God, help us. We've learned how to live without him. And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of us today. We're living without him instead of living with him. His reliance on the Lord. Notice his request. At first, this seemed like an interesting request until God spoke to my heart and showed me otherwise. It says in verse number 18, and he said, Moses speaking to the Lord, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take mine hand that thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now this man's already been called a friend of God. He's already seen the pillar come down in the tabernacle and talked to him face to face. He's already seen and heard and experienced things that you and I can't even imagine. From the very beginning there at the burning bush on the backside of the desert, God himself spoke to him as that bush was burning but not consumed. He's already seen a lot of big and pretty amazing and miraculous things. And Moses said, show me something else. Let me see something else. As good as all those things are, let me see your glory. Lord, show me more. Lord, let me experience more. Lord, let me hear more. Lord, let me see more. Let me feel more. I believe there's still a lot more to be had than what I've gotten a hold of thus far. What I've got's awful good, but I believe you've still got more to be had. As close as the man Moses was to God, he was never satisfied. He said, God, I want to be closer. God, I want you to show me more. Can I say to you, if we're going to let our light shine to a lost and dying world, we're going to have to quit being satisfied and complacent. We're going to have a hunger and a desire in our heart to see more of God, to be closer to God. I want to be closer tomorrow than I am today. I hope I'm closer today than I was yesterday. But there ought to be a never-ending, never-ceasing desire in our heart to see a little bit more of him, to hear a little bit more from him. To hear his voice in our heart and in our lives, and a little bit more of the word of God, a little bit more of the house of God. There ought to be a desire in our heart for more. One of the most dangerous things a Christian can do is get complacent and satisfied. I'm all right here where I'm at. You may be doing well. You may not be out in sin. You may be living right, doing right. You're not doing anything wrong, but there's always something more that God wants to do in our lives. We just seem to get complacent right here where we're at. Problem is, you can't just drop anchor and sit right there and hold your place to get ready to get back up and go some more. It's just like paddling upstream. As soon as you quit paddling, you're going backwards. You're not just going to hold your place and sit right there and, all right, I've paused or I've saved my game so I can come back later on and continue where I left off. It don't work like that. You're constantly going backwards as soon as you quit paddling. You can take a big old bonfire, and I mean absolutely smother it with wood. It'll burn bright for a while, but eventually that wood's going to burn up. Guess what? You're going to have to put some more wood on if you want it to continue to burn. A lot of you started out real well. You put a lot of wood on that fire, and you lit that sucker, and you fanned it, and you watched it grow, and it burned bright. But now something's happened in your life. It's not near as bright as it once was. It's not burning near as bright. It's not putting off near the warmth that it was in your heart and your life, and you don't know what happened. Not really doing anything wrong. You didn't put no water on the fire. You didn't throw no dirt on the fire. But you ain't added no wood to it either. You ain't out in sin doing a bunch of wrong, but you ain't tried to help yourself get any closer either. We can't just pause and pick back up where we left off later on. We go backwards. It's a constant, continual work every day trying to get a little closer. Moses said, I want to see more. Let me see your glory. As close as he wasn't satisfied. Then notice Moses' recognition. He goes up on the mountain with the two new stones. The Bible says, verse number 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Well, something got my attention when I was reading that. This ain't Moses worshiping the Lord. This ain't Moses talking about how big and how great God is. This is God himself talking about how big and great he himself is. Moses wasn't doing the worshiping. God is proclaiming to Moses just how great and how big and how holy he is. I mean, he's hearing a message preached from the Lord himself right there one-on-one. God telling him just how great he is. What a revelation. Then ain't it funny, when you see how big he is, what's the very next thing that happens? You start to see how small you are. Real quick, like, that's what happened in Moses' life. Bible said, verse number 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Listen to what he said. He made a recognition. He recognized something in his life. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. He's asked him one more time, would you please go with us? Look what he said, for it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us for thine inheritance. He said, God, you are holy. You are great and mighty, and we're nothing. He said, we're nothing but a stiff-necked bunch of sinners. That's all we are. Moses saying, even on our very best day, we are so short of the righteousness of God, it ain't even funny. God, we don't deserve you. We don't deserve nothing but the depths of hell. But Lord, would you please go with us anyhow, in spite of our faults, in spite of our failures. God, you're holy and you're everything and I'm nothing. But would you please anyway? Would you please, in spite of me, in spite of my flesh, in spite of my faults and my failures, would you please go with me anyway? As soon as you start to see how big God is, it'll remind you real quick just how small you and I are. That's what it takes to shine. The moon doesn't outshine the sun. It's just a reflection of the sun. We'll never outshine him. As soon as we start thinking we're something, we better get ready to fall because we're fixing to fall. I'm afraid some of us this morning, I'm just being honest and sharing my heart with you today. The reason why I feel like some Christians aren't letting their light shine to a lost and dying world is because they all of a sudden starting to feel like they deserve something. They've lived good enough and they've done enough. They deserve the goodness of God. They deserve the grace of God. I'm not like they are. I ain't been out in sin and done the things they've done. I've been clean. Yeah, you're just like a Pharisee, like all the other Pharisees were in the Word of God too. Bible said, of some were such of you. It's only by the grace of God that you're not where you're at. You ain't got no right to snarl your nose up at anybody this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, hey, we all deserve the same devil's hell. We all was a part of the same sinful flesh and sinful nature. We're all fallen man from Adam. We all deserved hell. There's none of us any better than anybody else. Just cause you may have experienced the grace of God at an earlier age that kept you from some things does not make you one little bit any better than anybody else. It makes God sick. Christians get to think they're something or they deserve something, and we raise our nose at other people that you don't know where they've been, what they've been through. You ain't got no idea. Who gives you the right to judge them? Hey, we're not the judge this morning. He's the judge. He don't need mine and your help. We ain't no better than anybody. It's by the grace of God we're not where they're at today. Oh, God, help us to have compassion. The Bible said, and some having compassion making a difference. Not some having pride making a difference. Some having compassion making a difference. Oh, God, help us to have compassion, lost and dying world. Let our light shine. They're just doing what comes natural. They're just doing what comes natural to the flesh. They're living in darkness because they've not seen the light. They don't know any different. It's our fault for not shining the light in their light so that they can see the difference. They don't know where they're heading, the destruction that's coming up ahead in their lives, because they can't see. They're wandering in darkness. The Lord gave him some requirements. He talks about separation and how they need to separate themselves from the other inhabitants of the land and not get mixed in with them so that they wouldn't pull them away to their gods. Moving on very quickly, he talks about sacrifice. Those are the requirements that he mentioned. I'm moving on very quickly. What laid this thought on my heart? I was listening to one of my heroes preach a while back. I mow a lot of times. I'll put my earbuds in. I'll find a message to listen to, a preacher to listen to while I'm mowing. And there was a great man of God, one of my heroes. Made a huge impact on my life, Brother Lee Davis. Great man of God. He preached and he could whoop you up one side and down the other. And I mean, just tell you how wrong and how messed up you are, but he done it with compassion and love. And just, I mean, he made a difference in my life. One of my heroes. He went home to be with the Lord not too long ago. And I was listening to him preach. Boy, God was helping me. God was speaking to my heart and working with some things in my heart and in my life. And God was helping me. And I just kept thinking about how thankful I was that that God let our paths cross and the impact that he made in my life. Brother Gene, I went to bed that Saturday night. Still thinking about God speaking to my heart and just thanking God for giving me what I needed that day. God can speak to your heart and God can meet your needs no matter where you're at, even on a lawnmower. I don't always read as much as I should. I'm not a big reader, but I do like to listen. And God speaks to my heart through other men and the Word of God that God gives them and shares with them. And boy, I was just thanking God for speaking to my heart that day and thanking God for Brother Lee and how he'd been a help in my life. And all of a sudden, the thought came to my mind, Brother Gene, the world don't seem as bright knowing he's not shining in it no more. His light kind of went out. I believe his ministry and his legacy still lives on, but he personally is not shining anymore in this world. And the world just felt a little darker to me. That was somebody I looked up to and I wanted to be like. And I thought to myself, the thought came to my heart and my mind. You can ask my wife, we was laying and we went to bed that night. It was laying there and I mentioned it to her. I said, I wonder, would the world feel any darker to anybody if something ever happened to me? Could I make a difference in somebody's life like that to when something happened to me, the world might feel a little bit darker to somebody else? Could I ever make that kind of an impact on somebody else? Another good friend of mine that I used to grow up with back home in North Carolina died just a few months ago. He loved to sing, good, great young man, loved to sing, loved God. And he died, and I was still listening to him sing some of those songs that he sung so well in my heart and in my mind. And I thought, yeah, there's another light that's went out. And I missed him, and I missed hearing him sing. I was still playing those songs over and over and over in my mind, him singing. And there's another one that made a difference in my life. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? What do you get? I'm saying there's some people that let their light shine. It made an impact on my life. And that's how this thing's supposed to work. If we let our light shine and let God work in our life like it should, we should impact somebody. Why is it so important we let our light shine? First of all, it reveals what's waiting in the dark for those sinners. Like I said before, they have no idea what's coming their way. They don't understand the shape that they're in and the peril that they're in. The Bible says they're already condemned. They're already headed for hell. And they don't realize it. They're lost. Like I said, they're just doing what comes natural to the flesh. They're lost and don't know what's headed. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, he said, who were going according to the course of this world, they're headed down a course. This world is in a course. It's got a destination set straight for hell. And oh God, help us let our light shine in this darkness. That they can see where they're headed so they can take a detour. They can turn towards Calvary and get off the course of this world and get saved by the grace of God and get to go to heaven one day. It reveals what's waiting in the dark for the sinner. It reproves the saint that won't shine. There's some saints that let their light go out. They got more interested in things this world than the things of God and strayed and went away and they quit depending on the Lord and decided they could do things their way. They could handle it themselves and they quit shining. Can I say to you this morning, there was some people growing up in my life that had so much touch of God on them. Brother John, I didn't like to be around them. They made me uncomfortable. My great uncle pastored for many years, had a great touch of God on his life. And I'll be honest with you, when I wasn't where I needed to be the Lord, Brother Terry, I didn't like being around that man. He made me so uncomfortable. I didn't even like, I mean, I made a point, Brother Gene, to detour around him when he was around. I didn't want to be around him. I loved him. I respected him. But he brought conviction in my life. Oh, God help us. We don't have that effect on many people anymore. Used to, there was so much of God in the house of God, I've been told, I ain't seen it much personally, but I've been told years ago, Brother John, there used to be so much of God that people would come into the house of God already uncomfortable and under conviction as soon as they walked in. I don't see a whole lot of that anymore. People's just as comfortable sitting on a church pew as they are at home. the conviction's just not seemingly there like it used to be anymore. We don't make people uncomfortable no more. It ought to be where a child of God lives close to God and has a touch of God on his life and shines, and it's like Moses that they're even afraid to get around us because of how bright we're shining. They're scared of Moses. They won't get close to him. They didn't understand what happened to him. I'm reminded, John chapter number 3, verse number 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth not on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." If you're going to let your light shine for the glory of God, there's going to be some people that ain't going to like to be around you. There are going to be some people that don't like you, that will avoid you, people that you might have liked to have been around before, that had a relationship with before. You're going to realize they don't like being around you so much like they used to anymore. Don't take it personal. It makes them uncomfortable when you let your light shine. It reveals the deeds in their life. It reveals the condemnation that's in their life and makes them uncomfortable. I'm afraid a lot of us just took it personal. We've gotten mad and bitter and upset at the world and being rejected and people not wanting to be around. And we've gotten upset. We've took it personal. We took it personal and felt like it was something against us personally. And we got bitter. Now we don't witness to nobody. We don't try to invite nobody to church. We're lucky if we even go to church because we got bitter and got upset. Can I tell you, he said, it's not you, but it's me that they don't like. It should not surprise us or catch us off guard when they don't want to be around you for letting your light shine. He said it would be that way. Don't take it personal. Not everybody's going to be all excited and happy that you got right with God and you're letting your light shine. It ain't always going to be received too well by some. It makes them uncomfortable. I'm glad for some people that made me uncomfortable because it helped me. I didn't like it at the time, but it helped me. They made me uncomfortable, and you know what? It caused me to do something about it. God help us to make people. I'm not saying to be mean to people or nothing like that. I'm talking about if you live good enough and live a life right enough, it'll make them uncomfortable without you having to do anything out of the way. Just living right. I say this, it reminds Satan who's won the victory. All throughout history, he's tried everywhere in the world to put the light out. He's tried to extinguish the light. He's tried to put the fire out. He's tried for many, many, many years, ever since his fall from heaven, he's tried everywhere in the world to put the light out. Ain't it funny? We hear from the time we're children growing up, they're about the battle of good and evil, battle of light and dark. And it don't matter how hard he tries, he'll never. It may get real dark in this world, but he'll never, ever, 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 ever be able to extinguish the light. He's already won. I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on the winning side. God help me to let my light shine to those that don't know him. They can get saved by the grace of God before it's too late. You say, preacher, it's an awful dark world which we're living in. It's getting darker every day, and it's dark, and it's depressing, it's discouraging. We want to get mad at people. Can I just confess to you for a minute? I'm right now done. I'm making a confession to you this morning. I've caught myself getting so mad lately at the shape that our country's in. So mad and so upset, fighting mad over people doing this and people doing that and getting upset. I can't help it. It's hard to turn it off. But God reminded me that I'm getting upset at the wrong people. It ain't the politicians' fault. It ain't the liberals' fault. It ain't the White House. It ain't the president. It's not their fault, the reason why we're in the shape that we're in today. They're following a much bigger plan for this world. They're just pawns in the game. And I have to remind you, this is spiritual warfare. It's not these physical people that we have names for that we're so against. They're just following in line, following orders, following the flesh. This is spiritual warfare. And I have to be reminded of that. Getting mad at them don't do a bit of good. I got to thinking about how dark the world is. I looked up the definition of darkness. Don't let this go over your head. The definition of darkness is just the absence of light. Where there's no light, there's darkness. And we want to sit back and grumble and gripe and complain and talk about how dark it is. We ain't got nobody to blame but ourselves. If you're saved by the grace of God, God put a light in your heart. It's your fault for not shining. The reason why it's as dark as it is. America today is so dark because Christians quit shining their lights. It's nobody else's fault but our own. We let our lights go out, and that's why it's so dark today. You know, Webster's 1828, the definition of darkness is the absence of light. Guess what? You can Google on your phone right now, definition of darkness. It ain't changed. There's some definitions they've tried to change throughout the years. That's one definition that they've not messed with. You can't change it. It just is what it is. It's the absence of light. That's what darkness is. God help us let our light shine. When we try to fit in with the world, and try to be like the world, and try to fit in and go with the flow, what's the song say? Hide it under a bushel, no. That's what we're doing. When we try to fit in with this world and we quit living a peculiar life like God wants us to live and we're not separated like God wants us to be, we're hiding that light under a bushel. Won't let Satan get out. When I get distracted by all the things going on around me, when I read the news headlines and I see what this one's doing and that's doing, it distracts me. And guess what I'm doing? I'm letting Satan my light out. You can go to the house of God on Sunday morning, have one of the greatest services, hear one of the greatest messages, and be fired up, charged up, your light's shining like a torch. Go home and cut on the news, and it don't take just 2 minutes. Well, there went that light. It's gone again. I'm guilty of that. I get to looking at all the things going around me, and I get distracted, and next thing I know, the devil said, boy, that wasn't hard. Boy, he thought he really had his light supercharged today, and I done bloated out one headline, done bloated out. He's done mad and upset and done in the flesh all over again, ready to fight somebody all over again. Boy, he's really letting his light shine now. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I'm just sharing with you my heart. God help us let our light shine. Let us shine to a lost and dying world. It's dying and going to hell. And they're going to regret it for all eternity. And I don't want to stand before God one day with a whole bunch of people's blood on my hands because I just hid it under a bushel or I got distracted and let the devil my light out. I don't know your heart. If Miss Maggie don't mind coming and getting us a song on the piano, let's stand. I tried my best to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Simple but true. This is a light of mine. Are you going to let it shine or are you going to hide it under a bushel? Are you so distracted that the devil's done your light out? I don't know your heart. I pray that you'll do business with God. God speaks to your heart. I'm glad somebody shined a light in my life.